Well, good morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I want to give a disclaimer. I was sitting here thinking about this. My introduction is going to use Christmas terms. And I'm even going to read in my introduction a Christmas passage. But I don't want you to think I bait and switched you. It's not a Christmas message. Next week and then the week after that will be Christmas messages. So somebody's going to be like, oh, he's going to do it. He's going to do a Christmas message. He's going to do it. And then whenever you see where we're going, you're going to be like, whoa, really? So I've given you that disclaimer. Did you all hear my disclaimer? Okay. All right. Much is made of light, though, during the Christmas season, right? Much is made of light. Lights in the form of candles started showing up in the 16th century in Germany on Christmas trees. Like, whoever thought that was a good idea? I mean, let's think about that for a second. Let's take dead pine and let's put flame in it. That's what we typically do after Christmas with Christmas trees, right? In 1880, Thomas Edison developed the first outdoor electric display. And then it wasn't long after that, one of his assistants developed the first string of lights that went on a tree. And you had to be really wealthy to have a string of lights on your tree, because at that time, it upped your electric bill like double to have those lights on your tree. But it is fitting that we would celebrate the incarnation of Christ and have lights as a part of the celebration. It's fitting. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9 spoke these words: "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government of peace there will be no end, on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do that." Light is an important part of the scriptures. Jesus would later announce in John chapter 8, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And in the scriptures, light and day are always associated with righteousness, with Jesus, and with those who follow Christ. Darkness and night are always associated with evil, with Satan, and with those who are in rebellion to God. So, to be honest this morning, there are two kinds of people in this room. There's light people and dark people. And I'm not talking about skin color. There are children of the light in this room, and there are people of darkness in this room this morning. Only two different kinds of people. And so, with that in mind, I want us to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I had you turn there already. This morning we want to just look at the first 11 verses. The first 11 verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Some of you were up late last night making merry. I need to make sure you're awake for this message, so stand with me this morning as we honor God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm going to read the first 11 verses this morning. "Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, Let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Father, this is my prayer. This has been my prayer this week, Father, that those who are children of the day, children of light, would be encouraged and built up when they leave this place today, even as you express it in the Word. But Lord, my prayer is for those who are in darkness that are in this room this morning, may today be the day that the light of Christ dawns in their heart. Open our eyes, Father, to see wonderful things out of your Word, so that our hearts may be changed by your Word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So there's two groups of people. We see it there in verses 4 and 5. There's people who are in darkness, and there are children of light. Who are these people? Children of light, children of the day. Paul refers to them in verse 4 as what? He calls them what specifically, church? I'm making sure you're awake. What does he call them in verse 4? Brothers. Does he call them brothers? You see it there? Let's just review who he calls brothers in the book that we've been studying through. Go back to chapter 1 with me in verse 4. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. He's talking to people who are loved by God, who have been chosen by God. He's talking to people who have been receivers of the Word of God. We see that there in verse 6. They became imitators of us and the Lord and received the Word in much affliction. If we move forward in the letter as we have preached through this book, go to chapter 4 and verse 1. Who are the brothers? Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as you received from us, how you ought to walk and to please God. He's talking to those who are walking in Christ and living in a way that pleases God. He's talking to the ones in chapter 4, verse 13, where he says, we don't want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. He's talking to those who will one day either be raptured or will be resurrected. This is the group of people that he's talking about here. He's talking to the ones in the first three verses of this passage who he said to them, you have no reason for me to tell you anymore. I've told you enough about the day of the Lord, yet I'm going to do it again. This is the group of people that he's talking to. He's talking to those whose lives have been changed by the gospel. Those are who the children of light are. I ask you this morning, is that you? Is that you? They're children. Notice he characterizes them as children in verse 5. Children of light. I love this. You see, all of us at one point came into this life as children, didn't we? Some of us have never grown up. We're still children, Pastor Andy. But notice the imagery of children. In John 8, verse 44, Jesus talks about this. He says, you are of your father, the devil. When we were born and we entered this life, and I got news for you, babies, there's nothing cuter than little babies. They look so cute and cuddly, but they grow up to be children, don't they? They grow up to be children. And the reason that children are so bad is not because their parents are so bad. It's because they're all children of darkness, just like you and I were. Cute, cuddly babies grow up to be children of darkness because they come into life as children of darkness. Every single one of us comes in. We're of our father, the devil, and we will do the desires of our father, the devil. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 8. He's talking here to those, though, who are children of light. What has changed it for them? Well, they've been adopted as sons, according to Galatians chapter 4. You see, the only way that you become a child of light, you don't will yourself to become a child of light. Any child who's ever been adopted didn't really get to choose their parents. They were chosen, weren't they? And God, in his grace and mercy, if you're a child of light here this morning, chose to make you a part of his family. so that he would get the praise and the glory in that. And so this morning, let's understand that children of light are those who by faith have received this gift of salvation. They have realized their own sinfulness as children of the devil, and they have had the righteousness of Christ put to their account. Is that who you are this morning? I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm not asking you if you give to charities at Christmas time. I'm not asking you if you've done good things this week. I'm asking you if you are a child of light because you've been adopted, because God has done this work in your heart. Children of darkness, according to verse 4, are those who are going to be surprised by the day of the Lord. Do you see it there? You're not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. Last week we talked about the day of the Lord. And I remind us again, how are these people so surprised by the day of the Lord? Because when I read the Word of God, yeah, it says it's going to come like a thief in the night. But when I read through the book of Revelation, it sure seems like God's going to give some pretty clear signs, doesn't it? Sure seems like it. Well, we know why. Because they're the people who are saying earlier in the passage that there's peace and security. Do you see it there in verse 3? Children of darkness believe lies. Why? Because their father is a liar. The devil himself is a liar. Children of darkness believe lies. Now, if you're the child of light, I don't want you to think you're any better than children of darkness this morning, because you too at one time were a child of darkness and you believed all the lies too. In other words, we're all gullible, aren't we? We're all willfully led astray. Children of darkness are all around us. They're your friends. They're your neighbors. They're your co-workers. They may even be your biological family. Shoot, they may be sitting in the same room this morning with us. And I don't mean to make it sound like they're terrible people or something that we avoid, but let's just understand, we live in a world of darkness and there are plenty of children of darkness. How do you know who they are? Well, I think one, you know already in your heart whether you are or not. But children of light, we find out here from verse 6, are those who don't sleep, and there are those who stay awake and sober. What's Paul driving at here? He says, we're not as those who sleep. He's not talking about those who are dead, like he did back in chapter 4. He's just talking about those who would willingly just go to sleep and not worry about anything that's going around about them. Children of light are people who are awake and they're alert and they understand what's going on in the world around them. Children of light are children who are awake and who are sober. They give attention to what's happening around them. One of the marks of a child of light is that they're aware of their own propensities to give in to temptation and sinfulness. They're awake to that. Are you awake to that this morning, child of light? That just how close you are to slipping into sin? That word awake there means that they give attention so that they don't fall into sin. There is a vigilant awareness in children of light of the deadly nature of sin, which just makes sense. Children of darkness don't understand just how deadly sin is. They don't understand what sin will do to a person. They don't understand how sin will damn them to hell for eternity. Paul says they're also sober. He says, keep awake and be sober. To be sober is to be in control of oneself. What I wasn't last night during the first half of the football game. I was a raving lunatic. To be in control of oneself, to be calm and steady. How is it that children of light can be so calm and steady when the world around us is so out of control and frenetic? Because we understand this. We understand that there's a sovereign God who has called us into his kingdom. And if he's sovereign enough to call me into his kingdom, he's sovereign enough to keep the world controlled. And he's got a plan for everything. That's how we say awake and sober. But not only are we not sleeping and awake and sober, look at verse 8. Children of light are called the three great virtues that we see throughout the scriptures in the New Testament here. And I love this. Paul figures out a way just about in every one of his writings to get this triad in. And I don't think it's a mistake. It's obviously the Holy Spirit's inspiring him to do this. But Paul figures out a way to get this triad in. We're called to three great virtues. These are, if you will, the marks of the children of light. And I ask you this morning, as I talk about this, don't just listen and like, yeah, those are three great things. Listen and evaluate your own heart. Are these virtues evident in my life? Notice what children of light are called to be. As those who are sober and in control, it's because of these same three virtues. Verse 8, since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Now, some of you are thinking along with me, and you remember the first message we preached eons ago in this book. In chapter 1, verse 3. Go back there and look at it. Remember what Paul says to them? He says, I remember before the Lord, before our God and Father, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your steadfastness of hope. These are three things that were already in evidence at this young church. And let's not make the mistake of thinking that that church was like our church or any church we've ever been a part of. That church started at ground zero several months before he wrote this to them. That church was made up of all pretty much brand new baby believers. Why is that important? Because even brand new baby believers exhibit faith, hope, and love. They may not do it like a mature believer does it. They may not do it to the extent. They may not have the same depth of faith or the same outflowing of love that other believers do. They may not have a hope that's been built over the trials and temptations over the years. But even brand new believers exhibit faith, hope, and love. Let's unpack those three things because that's pretty important. Because I fear, just to be honest with you, I fear there are people sitting here today who are saying, I walked an aisle, I did something, I'm a child of light. And if there's not faith, hope, and love there, I would question whether or not you truly are a child of light. I would question that. I think God would want us to question that. So what are these three things that he's talking about here? He talks about this breastplate of faith and love. Okay? Let's just use the imagery that Paul's using. Why do you need a breastplate? Who wears breastplates? Soldiers do. People going into harm's way. We have law enforcement officers that are a part of our church family. When they're doing raids or things like that, they don't just walk out in their civilian clothes with no protection. Why do you put on protection? Because someone wants to hurt you, right? Children of light, wake up to this. You have an enemy who wants to hurt you. He wants to hurt you. He wants to go for your vital organs. He's not messing around. And what is the deterrent to his attacks? It's faith. It's faith. Faith is a trust in God's power. It's a trust in God's promises. It's a trust in God's plan. You have to have those three things together, really, to have true faith, I believe. You have to trust that God is all-powerful. You're not trusting in your own power, are you, child of light? Your power isn't going to match the enemy's power. You have to trust in the power of Almighty God. You got to trust in His promises. Where do you find His promises, church? Church, wake up. Where do you find His promises? So if you're going to connect to the promises of God, that means you have to be what? in the Word, don't you? I got news for you. This book is not just for Sundays. You got to trust in the promises of God. And then thirdly, you got to trust in the plan of God. You want to put it in common, just really rubber meets the road vernacular. You got to get up every morning and believe that God's got this. That God's got control of this day. That the same God who controlled your yesterday, the same God who chose you and made you a part of His family, has got a good plan for the future too. And let's be honest, there's some days that's hard to do, isn't it? So faith is a confidence in God's power, His promises, and His plan. Faith is an unwavering belief that God is 100% trustworthy in all that He says and in all that He does. Let me say that again. God is 100% trustworthy in all that He says and all that He does. Do you have that kind of faith in your God this morning, child of light? He is always doing what's right and good. We can trust Him because He's faithful. The Bible tells us this. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can trust Him because nothing is too difficult for Him. How many of you have seen God do things that only God could do in your life and other people's life? How many of you witnessed that? Like, when was the last time, those of you who have beat cancer, that you said this, man, I beat cancer because I'm so strong? No. You beat cancer because God is so powerful and so good. Not only do we trust Him because nothing's too difficult for Him, we trust Him because He keeps His word. You know, I know some amazing people who are some of the people that I can count on in my life, who will be bedrock individuals who will keep their word. But even those people aren't 100% all the time, but my God is. My God is. We can trust Him because His plan is sure, it's right, and it's good. I mean, think about it this way. If you trust God for your eternal soul, what wouldn't you trust Him with? Right? I assume, child of light, that you're trusting Him for your eternal soul and its destiny, right? If you're going to trust Him with that, can you trust Him with some of these other things that come up in life? Yeah. But He says this, and this is the only time in Scripture He puts this imagery together for us. It is a breastplate of faith and love. Now, I picture it, maybe I picture it wrong, but I picture it this way. It's not like a mixture of faith and love. I picture faith as that hard shell that I need, and I picture love as the backside, that soft lining that goes right up against me. Because you see, those who truly love God, those who truly love God will obey God, won't they? Those who truly love God will not knowingly do what violates His holiness and righteousness. The greatest commandment is what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And so Paul here uses this imagery of this breastplate, and you say, well, how does love protect me? Well, I just want to tell you, if I didn't have God's love, I would be a wreck. Anybody else there? If I didn't know that my God loved me, I would be a wreck. And then he says this, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Could you imagine facing Chase Young without a helmet? And it puts you in a quarterback. We're out of helmets, though. And we're only going to block Chase Young with a single blocker. Those of you who are not football fans are lost right now. I know. I'm sorry. Just get back there and throw the ball. He's going to come at you, man. You got no helmet, but you'll be okay. I would run and cry. And he would still hit me hard. You know what? Every believer needs to understand we face a more fearsome enemy than Chase Young. And that enemy wants to crush your mind. That enemy wants to totally change the way that you think. That enemy wants to, because if he can ruin your mind, he's ruined you. And what is it that protects us? Hope. What kind of hope? Hope of salvation. Now, he's not talking about, I hope I'm saved. He's not talking about, I hope I've done enough that I'm saved. He's not talking about, I hope that one day I'll go to heaven. What he's saying is this: those who are truly the children of light know beyond the shadow of a doubt that they are children of light. And the hope that they're looking for is one day, understand this and be encouraged, brother and sister, this morning, one day all this life melts away and we will be glorified forever in heaven. That's the hope that he's talking about. And that's what keeps our minds clear. That's what should keep our minds clear. Too often, we make this a lot more difficult when it comes to these issues of our mind and battling the things in our minds and the temptations of things like that. Here's what the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 12, after that great passage on the faith and all the faith heroes. He said this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's what hope is. Are you a child of light? Is Christ your hope? See, if you're putting your hope in something else, then chances are you're not a child of light. Where's your hope this morning, church? True children of light exhibit faith, they exhibit hope, and they exhibit love. They don't just talk about it, their lives exude it. Okay? You can't hide a breastplate if you're wearing it. It's not like you could put something big enough over it. It's there. These virtues, they serve as a protection, but they're also a witness as well. Contrast that with the people of darkness in verse 7. You could just say this and sum it up. People in darkness really have nothing to put their faith in. They truly don't have genuine love, and they have no hope, right? But here's how Paul puts it in verse 7. For those who sleep, the children of darkness, the night people, if you will, they sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. I told you before, you know this, we have several law enforcement officers that are associated with our church family. If I could parade them up here right now, chances are they would, and I just asked him one question: when are most crimes committed? They're probably not going to say noon. Am I right, law enforcement officers? Am I right? Sherry, you would love the noon shift, wouldn't you? If it wasn't at school, right? It happens at night, doesn't it? Under the cover of darkness. You know, people of darkness sleep because they have no concern for their welfare or their safety. Remember verse 3, they're deluded into thinking there's peace and security. So they just put their heads on their pillows and like, wee, life's just going on and everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to work out in the end. I got news for you. If your philosophy is that everything's going to work out in the end, that's a stupid philosophy. Then he goes on to say that they're like drunk people. By God's grace, I can say I have never been drunk in my life, but I've been around a lot of people who have been drunk. You can't make sense of how they think, can you? You can't make sense of how they think. They're not rational. They're not in control. And that's the same way with people in darkness. They're not rational. They're not in control. And they do this all under the cover of darkness, which is why Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, let your light so shine. Guess what, children of light? There's a reason why he calls you light, because you're supposed to shine and reflect the glory of Christ. So I ask you, are you a child of light, or are you a person of darkness? Because these questions are very important. This is a very important question, and my next point is going to illustrate why this is so important, because I want you to see the destiny of these two different groups of people. Look at verse 9. He's talking about children of light here. For God has not destined us for wrath. That word destined is an interesting word. That word literally means determined by Almighty God. If you are a child of light, God is determined you will not face wrath. Hallelujah. God has determined, and I've got news for you, when God determines it, it's going to happen. You are not going to face the wrath of God if you're the child of light. So if you're thinking with me, if you're the child of darkness, you are facing the wrath of God. What is that wrath? Well, that same word is used in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. I used this passage last week, but I want you to turn there with me. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 16. John, as he's writing the book of Revelation, under inspiration, uses this same word in Revelation chapter 6. And he's talking about, let's just begin in verse 14. We could back up a lot further in the passage, but verse 14 of Revelation chapter 6. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up. Can you imagine a time when, like, the sky as we know it, it just disappears? The sky vanished like a scroll that's being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne. Let's understand, the skies disappear in such a way that the glory of God is shining down from the throne room of heaven onto this earth, and people who are children of darkness can't see. Stand the light, right? And what do? They go to dark places, caves and rocks of the mountains, and they scream to them, fall on us and kill us. Why? They want to be away from the wrath of the Lamb. Do you see it there at the end of verse 16? Verse 17, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand? That word wrath is an interesting word, and it specifically means this. It means to undergo punishment in misery. To undergo punishment in misery. You've never had a trip to the principal's office like this trip. But God has graciously determined that children of light won't face that. They will obtain, go back to 1 Thessalonians, they will obtain salvation because they've been so good. Is that what it says? They will obtain salvation because they gave money to the church. They will obtain salvation because they've read their Bible before. No, they're going to obtain salvation because of what Christ has done for them. Verse 10, who died for us. That plays in with the wrath of God. Jesus didn't just die a physical death for you. He did die. Don't get me wrong. He did die. But that's not all that he did. He took the full force of the wrath and fury of Almighty, all-powerful, all-judging, holy God. He took it all on himself so that you and I don't have to take it. He took it all. The next time you sing Jesus paid it all, let's understand what he paid. He took the full wrath of God so that you and I don't have to take it. Who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, whether we're dead or alive, we will live with him. That's the destiny of children of light. Christ took our place. Children of darkness are destined for wrath. There's a reason why Revelation seems so scary when we read it. God wants it to be that way. The Bible speaks of the destinies of the children of light and the people of darkness, and he uses the same imagery. In Matthew chapter 8, in Matthew chapter 22, in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is talking about end times, and he's talking about judging the wicked. And in all three places, he says this: the wicked ones are thrown in outer darkness. Outer darkness. Not just darkness, but it's like uber darkness, if you will. They are thrown in outer darkness. Can I say this to you? You cannot experience any greater darkness than to be cut off from Almighty God. The definition of darkness is the absence of light. There is coming a day when the wicked will be cut off from every source of light. And that's a pretty dark place. But children of light, their destiny is light. I want to show this to you. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21 this morning. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, verses 23 and 24. He's talking about the New Jerusalem. He's talking about a time in the future after God has poured out his wrath on those, on all wickedness, and he's judged those who are in sin. And he says this: and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. Stop there. Have you noticed this fall that God has given us some amazing sunsets in Central Ohio? Have you noticed that? Did you catch the sunrise this morning? It's glorious, isn't it? There's something better than even a sunrise and a sunset. There's something more glorious than a sunrise or a sunset. And he says, this city needs no sun or moon to shine on it. Why? Because the glory of God gives it its light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Go down to chapter 22. Look at verse 5. Night will be no more. There is coming a day when there will be no more evil. There will be nothing. There will not be any worry about darkness in the kingdom of darkness anymore. Night will be no more. It will be packaged up and it will be judged in a place called the lake of fire. Night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. Imagine this. You get up in the night and you won't have to worry about stubbing your toe because you'll be able to see. No light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light and they will reign forever and ever. The destiny of people of darkness is eternity of darkness. The destiny of people of light, children of light, is light forever. That's the destiny. I had someone ask me this question last week, and it's a great question. If believers aren't going to face the day of the Lord, then why does God spend so much time telling us about it? Like, why? Why is Paul writing about this? Well, do you see verse 11 of chapter 5? Because of these things, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So let me spend a few minutes doing this. For those of you in this room who are children of light, that truly are brothers, that are exhibiting faith, hope, and love, for the true children of light this morning, let's understand something here. Be encouraged to stay awake and keep sober. Keep at it. Keep your shield of faith or your breastplate of faith on. Keep your helmet of salvation on, your hope of salvation on. Don't let it fall off. Don't let it slide. It's going to be worth it one day. It will pay off. It will pay off. Stay by the stuff. Don't give up. Your hope is sure because your God is sure. Your faith is sure because He's the source of your faith. Don't give up. Be encouraged. But don't just be encouraged. As you're being encouraged, build up others around you. Encourage others around you. This morning in this room, there are people, I know there has to be, there are people who are just hanging on by a thread. Say, well, that's why we have you as a pastor. You're supposed to. No, you, the people you're sitting next to and rubbing shoulders with, encourage them and build them up. Build them up. Reassure the anxious that children of night are not destined to face God's wrath. There's something far better. Our security is in Christ. Christ has taken all the wrath so that we don't have to. Hang on, brother. Hang on, sister. Edify them. But if you're not a child of light here this morning, wake up. Stop being lulled into a stupor, believing that everything is going to be fine. I've got news for you. Everything is not going to be fine if you are the child of darkness. You are another moment. You're another second closer to eternity. Let that sink in. And the question is, not will you believe Dan Scarberry's words, will you believe what God Himself tells us in the Word happens to those who are the children of darkness? This is not a fairy tale of my making. Trust me, I'm not that creative, and I wouldn't write that horrible of an ending. This is the Word of the Lord, the one who started all of time and will finish all of time. You are destined to face the wrath of God. But I've got news for you. You can turn today. You can embrace Christ. You can receive the gift of what He's done for you. You can, by faith, claim it as your own. Will you leave behind sin? And will you leave behind serving the God of this world? And will you be adopted by a loving Heavenly Father who, when He adopts you in, makes you His child just like that and gives you all the rights and ownership that goes with being an actual child of the King? Would you do that? I don't know about you, but that sounds like a really good deal. That sounds like a really good deal. So this morning, the question is really simple. Are you a child of light? Or are you a child of darkness? Now in a moment I'm going to pray. And I've been told that there's someone who wants to address you this morning, so I'm going to pray. But this is so important to me. This is so important to me. That if you are the child of darkness here this morning and you want to become the child of light, there is nothing more important than that you would get that taken care of. Find me. Find Pastor Andy. Find one of our church leaders. There's going to be people this morning. We don't have 200 available to us. There'll be people up here in the front. Just come and talk to one of us, so that we might open the Word and explain to you how you can know today, right now, that you are the child of light. I got news for you. There's nothing more important in this world at all, nothing, than getting that settled. Father, for those in this room who are children of light, encourage them today, I pray. Encourage them so that they can build others up. Encourage them to keep on with the breastplate of faith and love, to keep the helmet of the hope of salvation on. And Lord, for those who are children of darkness here this morning, oh God, make eternity real to them. Make it real. Make heaven and hell real to them this morning. Make their own sinful will so real to them. And Lord, make your holiness real to them. May they understand you are a holy God. You cannot be trifled with. May today be their day of salvation, I pray. We love you. We thank you for loving us enough to tell us about these things so that we might be prepared for the day of the Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus, for making a way to escape the wrath of God. Thank you so much for bearing the wrath of God so that we wouldn't have to. It would consume us. But you took the full wrath so that we might have life, and we praise you for it. We love you. May we live this week as those who really are the children of light, and may our light shine in a dark, dark world, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.